Okay, today we're continuing in the Drasha Saran. We are in the 10th Drasha, the Drasha Asiri. The Mosad Rav Cooks are on page Shin Ayin Vav. So last time we talked about that if a person does an Avera, they deserve some pretty terrible stuff, and that's why Hashem doesn't require endless repentance. It's doable. And therefore, that's why the Pasuk says, Vata Yisrael Ma'ashem L'Kech Hashem Yimech. That's why the Pasuk says, what does God ask of you? Just to fear Him. It means to say, because when a person sins, they would think they need to do who knows what, because Hashem is so great, and sinning against God is such a terrible thing. They would think they need to, who knows, offer their firstborn child. Anyway, they don't. They just need a, Hashem just wants us to do His will. So we're continuing with Zeh, Inin Ba'atzmo Kivin Moshe Rabbeinu B'smichos Osa Parsha, and this is what Moshe meant with putting this parsha here. Shenemar Vata Yisrael Ma'ashem L'kecha Shalom Yimach. When Hashem said, Jewish people, what does God want from you? Kolomer, it means to say, Sha'afal Pishi Shchasem V'hisavtim, even though you did terrible Averos, Eineni Rotzer B'ashchas Chaschem, I don't want to destroy you. V'eineni Shalom Yitchem Kim Liroso, all I ask from you is just to fear me. V'chol Asher Yiyaser Etzchem V'amidbar L'hoya Atzad Onesh. Now, the Gran's going to get into now the idea of the purpose of punishment, which is a pretty important thing. This is a very important Ran. What is the purpose of punishment? So all the punishment when we sinned, all the punishment we got in the Midbar was not because to punish for the sake of punishment, kim lahaviachim al zeha tachlis, but rather just to bring you to this purpose, to this point, k'mash amar akasov yadatim levavecha kikah asher yaser ishes b'no, Hashem elokecha miyasreka. You should know that the purpose of the punishment is not the punishment itself, but to bring you to fearing God and doing His mitzvos. As the pasuk says, you should know in your heart that when you get hurt and punished by God, it's like a father punishing their child. What does he mean to say by that? V'dimyon zehu, what this means to say, is ki Hashem yizbarach shomer b'mosro osanu shnei dvarim kasher yimzareim ha'av b'yisro libno. That when Hashem punishes us, so it's similar to a father punishing his son in two ways. Echad mehem, one is shelo ya'ani shehu la'olam b'mosro, or b'mosro, whatever, onesh yishav l'davash erchataba. First of all, the number one way it's similar to a father punishing a son is that a father never punishes a son up to the level of what the kid truly deserves. As an example, kim chata chet mavas lo yamiseno, let's say the son shot someone. So the father wants to punish him. He's going to shoot the kid? Certainly not. So he doesn't punish the kid up to the level that the kid deserves. And if the kid did something you should get whipped for, even in the days when people hit kids, they didn't hit them that much, in the sense that they should get what a stranger would get if they deserve to be whipped. A father's punishment to a son is always less than what, say, a judge would do. So it's always more kind. Vashani, in the second way, God's punishment to the Jewish people is like a father to the son. And this is incredibly important. She'ein ha'ona shemanish adam esbeno mechuvin ba'atzmo. The purpose of punishing a child is not for the sake of punishment itself. Valhuli ha'ishir esbeno atche'im yira la'av. So the purpose is to straighten out the son, such that if the son sees, if the father sees sha'ben nischarit al asher asa, that the son feels bad about what he did, b'shelo yashuv baderech ahuod, and he sees the son's not going to do that avera ever again, not going to do what he did wrong again. Lo ya'anishen olav, he doesn't bother punishing him. If the father sees that the son really feels bad about what he did, then the father knows he doesn't need to punish him because he could tell he's not going to do this again. Judges don't work that way. If you do something bad and you go to court, you get arrested, and the judge finds you guilty, the fact that the judge sees how remorseful you are, and even if the judge knew you would never ever do that again, you're still going to jail. Because in a regular court system, the punishment is for the punishment's sake. It's to deter others, perhaps, but whatever. The punishment is for punishment's sake. You did the crime, you must pay. Father and a son doesn't work that way. If the parent sees that the child isn't ever going to do that again, then they don't need to punish them. So it's the same with Hashem to us. So if a father sees a son won't do the avera ever again, he feels bad enough. The father's going to be so happy. He's going to have to hit his kid. Why would he want to hit his kid for no reason? He sees the kid's not going to do it again. Perfect. That's the way Hashem deals with us. Hashem deals with us equally in these two ways. Number one, Hashem deals with us. Hashem does never punishes people up to what they truly deserve. Hashem did not punish us up to the level that we deserved. V'amar Ezra ki ata Elokeinu chasachta lamata me'avaneinu v'nasata lanu pleita kazos. Also another pasuk saying that Hashem spared us and didn't punish us what we deserved. V'asheni, and in the second way, she'einu onu shabam and Hashem yisbarach ha'bnei adam mechuv le'atzmo. The punishment that Hashem sends us is not for itself. It's only to get us to do, straighten us back to doing the right thing. Or he does add, or possibly if you're not the type of guy who's going to fix your ways because of punishment, maybe other people will see you and learn, you know, not to do what you did. Because punishment in and of itself is not a good thing, and this is also very important. Because if an eye for an eye, as the Goyim say, you know, that way. If an eye for an eye was the right way to go, the Torah wouldn't have said not to do things like that. The Torah says, don't take vengeance on people, and don't hold a grudge. Torah is not telling you not to do things that are correct. About Tzava Bas Yosan, Torah tells you to do things that are correct. If a God told us vengeance is bad, so we understand it's a bad trait. So umashi yisar Hashem yisbarach alav, and that which the Torah says Hashem is like that. The Torah describes Hashem as ba'omro kel kanov and okem Hashem. It says God is a vengeful God. Inenu mitar b'zeh mitana nakama ba'atzma aval mitara tova nimshach mimena. Then when God acts like that to us, it's not because it's good to be vengeful, but it's because it's only for this purpose that God's vengeance is, so that people learn to do the right things, not just for the sake of an eye for an eye. Therefore, Chazal told us, That's what Chazal tells us. Nothing bad comes from Hashem. Comes from up high. Comes from Hashem. Nothing bad ever comes from Hashem. What do you mean? We seem to see things that are bad. It can't be that God, who is the absolute good and the source of all goodness, that God would send something truly, totally bad. Anything that comes from Hashem, yavli tachas atov, it's all because it's for good. Leads for good. Therefore, any bad thing, any punishment that comes to a person in this world, and now we're going to say a very important chilek here, anything that happens to you while you're alive in this world, hu al zer derech, it's on this way. Either it's to get the person to do the right thing, to stop doing their averus and to do teshuvah. And if you're not the sort of person that's ever going to do tshuva, then it's l'hayishir acherim shel yiacherim kamo. Then it's so other people should see that when a person does averus, not everything worked out for them. So again, that's the purpose of punishments in this world, is to straighten a person out, to get them to do tshuva, or so that other people should learn to not do what this person did. Aval, says the Ran, however, onshe olam haba, that's different. Punishments in the world to come, that's something else entirely. You can't say that the punishments in the next world are to make you be straighter. You can't do tshuva once you're dead. Once you're dead, it's over. So what would be the purpose of punishment there? So the way a person is when their soul leaves their body, that's the way they're going to be forever and ever and ever. Pretty scary. And it can't be that the purpose of punishment once a person's dead is so that others should learn from them. Because we have no idea what's going on in the next world. We can't see that the person's being punished in the next world. So, what could be the purpose of God punishing people once they're dead? They can't do tshuva anymore. No one else can learn from them anymore. Why is there such a thing as a Gehenna? Why does a person get punished in the next world? If so, since we said punishment is not a good thing, so then, and it's not for itself, and it's tarech lomer, so we're going to have to say, right, got that? All punishments in the next world are natural. Masigim lenefesh mitzad atzmusa. The soul gets it just because it's natural to get it. When a person does terrible averus in this world, you're making your soul sick. If a person chops off their arm, it hurts. It can't be that a person rebelled against Hashem, died without doing tshuva, died in his rebelliousness or her rebelliousness, the person's not going to get punished. It's a natural outgrowth of sin. It's not a punishment from God. If you take a knife and stab yourself, it hurts. That's not a punishment. That's nature. That's the nature of things. So to the soul, when the soul is free from the guf and it's in Olam Haba, the suffering it gets is natural to it. It's the pain that it will naturally occur from all the averos and sins that are attached to it. Zehu ha'in hanira ba'onshei olam haba nitzchem. This is how what appears with the punishments of the next world. Aval ba'onshei v'asmanim, but with the temporary punishments, in other words, the ones in this world, koshim shehizkiru abaseinu, not the ones in this world, the temporary punishments. Koshim shehizkiru abaseinu yardu gehenna metzaftefim ba'olam. So the punishments that a person suffers, that their soul suffers forever and ever, so that's, it's a natural outgrowth of sin. The punishments that a person gets in Gehenna that they then eventually leave Gehenna from, like their soul gets burned and then is purified, or so that which Chazal say that they go to Gehenna and taftafim ba'olam and get up, or people who go to Gehenna, like we assume most from Yidden do, maximum 12 months, 11 months, 12 months, whatever, maximum, they stay down there a year and then they come up. So in that type of things, so that's a middle ground, right? There's the punishments in this world that get you to be holier. The punishments that are forever and ever on a person in their soul, that's just the natural outgrowth of the sin they did. But the ones that are temporary, where you get punished in Gehenna for a year and then go up to Gan Eden, that's nirishis kapzu shnei dvarim. That's a combination of both. Part of it is natural to the soul when it's filled with sin and it's by itself in Olam Haba. It's a natural outgrowth of that pain or that suffering that it suffers. It also, that type of punishment also brings a person to good. The soul does get purified. The Gehenna process purifies the soul so that it can go to Gan Eden. So then it has that aspect too, that it's good for it to go to Gan Eden because then it can finally get there. The exact way of how Gehenna works, how the punishment to the soul, it's not going to make the person, right? The person can't do tshuva, they're already dead. But how the suffering that it undergoes gets rid of the sin and makes the person holy again, how that works, we have no idea, we've never seen it, we don't know exactly what it looks like and how it works. And if the Ran saying, and if we open our mouths to try to describe what we think, how it works, and what it sounds like from Chazal, will be like dreamers. Better to not talk about it, because we don't really know exactly, can't really think about it, appreciate it in our physical bodies. It's just because this came up, that's why either Ran I'm talking about it. But exactly how Gehenna works, we don't exactly know. But the bottom line is just as a summation, there's three different types of punishments. He said the ones in this world that get the person or other people to do the right thing, the ones that are permanently, the punishments that are permanently with a person are natural outgrowths of sin, and the ones that a person goes to Gehenna and gets out of, so that's a mixture. It's to get a person to be pure and also to get a person, and also the natural outgrowth of sin. Okay, very important round. We keep going. What comes out of what we said is, and what comes out is the point is that God doesn't want to punish people for the sake of punishment. As the pasuk says, what does God want from you? I just want you to be in awe of me, to do my mitzvahs. Kolomar, it means to say, even, and Hashem is saying that even though you did many averos, Hashem doesn't want you dead. That's not what He wants. And I'm not asking from you alpha elim b'rivos nach l'Hashem, and I don't need thousands of karbanos, says tshuva. All I'm asking from you people for tshuva is to be in awe of me, do my mitzvahs, don't do averos. That's it. Okay, that's the end of that idea. Now the Ran continues, getting back to what we said before. Now about the pasuk Masham Lekach Shalom Yimach. Now he had said till now that when God said, "What do I ask you of you, just to fear me?" He said it sounded like a tall order. Just do all my mitzvahs, never do averos. And he had explained, well, considering the Aveir you did, it makes sense. But now he's going to revisit that question a little bit more. Avayish Pasha Zo Shalosh Elis Gadolos. We have three big questions in this Pasha. Ha'achas, number one. Ba'omru ma'asham l'kecha sholmi ma'achkim li'yiras Hashem l'kecha. When the Pasuk says, what do I ask from you just to fear God? L'lechus b'chol d'racham to go in all His ways. Zuli'avos, so and to love Him. V'lavaros Hashem l'kecha. to serve Hashem with all your heart and with all your soul. This appears to be the highest level. The list in this pasuk, to serve God with all your heart and all your soul, do all the mitzvahs, never do averus, love God, seems to be the highest level a person could possibly reach. If so, in sefek shetavei adam ena notela. If so, it's obvious that a person's nature is not, person doesn't naturally act like that. They have to work very hard to reach that level. The cholik minagin elamio, a person's natural tendency is not to be like that at all. Just the opposite. And you can prove this first of all from the psukim, v'shenis midivrei sofrim, and secondly, from what Chazal say, v'shlishis man irlei, and three would just looking around. Shari America. So, how do you see from a pasuk that it's hard to be such a big tzaddik, to love God with all your heart and soul, never do averus, all that? As the pasuk says, the pasuk in Chumash, ki yetzer lev ha'adam ramin urav. In Bereshis, it says that a person's yetzer is bad. From the beginning, from their youth, Vamar David Avala Shalom, and David said, "Kihu Yadaya Yitreinu Zochor Kiyafar Anachto." God knows our Yitzharai. Remember that we are like dirt. Vamar Rabbi Seinu Zal Chazal said, "Aluva Isa Shanachto Meid Leashira." So the dough that the baker itself says is bad is pretty bad. Shneamar Kiyetzilei VaAdam Ramin Urav, as the pasuk says, a person's Yitzhara is bad from his youth, from Ra'od, and it says also, Yitzhara Shaladam is Chadi Shalab B'chayom. Chazal tell us that a person's Yitzhara gets up early to fight against the person every day. Shneamar, as it says, Rak Rak Kolayom, the Yitzhara is evil every day. Yitzhara Shaladam is Gabrielov B'chayom and Vakish Amiso, the Yitzhara wants to kill a person every day. Shneamar, as it says, Tofer Rasha La Tzadik, the Rasha looks out for the Tzadik, Mavakish La Amiso, and trying to kill him. From Rod, Chazal said further, Rabbi Alexander, Buster Damatzli, after he finished davening, Amar Hachi, he used to say the following, Rebbeinu Shalom, Hashem, Golev Yadula Fenecha, it is known before you, Shiratoni Lassus Ritzenecha, I want to do your mitzvos. Rabbi Alexander used to daven, Amim Akev, who's stopping me? So Orsha Be'isa, the sourdough in the dough, which means the Yitzhara, Veshib and Malchios and the Gayim. Yehi ratzim milfanecha Hashem lakenu, shetachniyem milfanenu miacharenu menashuv la'asas ritzenecha b'leim avshalem. Hashem, please subjugate them from before me and from behind me, and we will return to do your will with a full heart. Hinei mefurish, says the Ran, it's very clear, bekan shagam osim shecheftim v'ritzonim l'chabi nisbarim, even those who really want to do mitzvos, forget those who never started to want to do mitzvos, even the people who want to do mitzvos, it's very hard. Yitzhara Machiavellim, the Yitzhara tries to stop them. I mean, it's Barim and Absukim, so I just showed you from Sukkim. Umi Devi Rabbosheno, Avram Chazal, Shein Teva Ha'adam Muchen Lalos Azosa Madreg Aliona. A person is not naturally ready for this level that the Pasuk describes of what does God ask from you just to be super holy people. Aval Choiklav Harbe, a person's nature is just the opposite of that. Very difficult to do that. Umash Nir La'ayin, and then just with your eyes, you could see Machriyaz and Gamkin. That also proves this point that a person's not naturally. Just it's not so easy to be such a holy person. For who and that is Shiadu, it's known. Shemashi Yesh Daber Bitivo Nimtzeu Bo Al Tadarov. Something that comes naturally to the person, we should find most of the people doing that. And if you don't find people doing what's naturally should be, then it'll always be a minority. In other words, whatever's more natural to happen will happen most of the time and happen rarely. And if it doesn't happen, it'll be a rarity. Kasher Nerma, like we'll say, as an example. Since the summer is usually hot, so most summers are hot. And if you have a summer or a day in the summer, whatever, if you have a long stretch in the summer that's not hot, it'll be weird, strange, unusual. So too, a person naturally loves their children and their relatives. So most people love their children. If you find some guy who hates their kids, it'll be an unusual case. Someone should hate their children. If so, if it was so easy, God says, what do I ask from you? Just to fear me, love me with all your hearts and soul, your soul. If that was something that came naturally to a person, you would think you should find most people are like that then. Very holy people. Because if it was easy to do, most people would be like that, and certainly people want what's good. Like we see with our eyes, anyone who could become a king or royalty, They'll do everything they can to reach, if they think they can become king, they'll do everything they can to be king or royalty. And that's just like this world stuff, not so important stuff. Certainly with such a high level important thing, certainly if it was easy to do, most people would reach that level then. And that's not exactly how it is. And therefore, reaching this level of perfection, like this, like the pasuk describes, the who and that is, to go in all God's ways. This whole list in the pasuk of serving God with all your heart, very few people are like that. One in 1,000 doesn't reach that the level the pasuk's describing. So that's obviously not something that's easy to attain. About davar rachuk mode, it's obviously something very difficult and hard to attain. If so, so then how can Moshe say, what does Hashem ask from you just to fear him? It's like the pasuk saying, what do I ask you to be? Just be like Avram or Moshe Rabbeinu. That's very difficult to do. Pashtus. Chazal understood this. They said something about this. Amr, they said, Chazal said on this pasuk, when Moshe said, what does Hashem ask from you just to fear him? So Chazal say, is fearing Hashem such a small thing? Vitirtzu, and they answered, in the Gabi Moshe Milsa Zutrasahi. The answer was, yes, by Moshe it's a small thing. So if you ask a person for something big and he has it, love kikli katan. It's similar to a small kli. In other words, it's not a big deal for him, for the person. But if he asks for a small thing and he doesn't have it, then it appears like a big thing. Okay, in other words, so for Moshe it was no big deal because he had it. But that doesn't seem to answer the question, says the Ran. The fact that it's small to Moshe, why he's talking to us though. It would be surprising someone to talk like that. Just because it's easy for you, you know who you're talking to. It's not easy for us. It's like someone who has thousands of things of gold. Who says to someone who's very poor, I'm just asking for you for a little bit of money. That's not a smart thing to ask someone. You're asking a poor guy, he doesn't have it. You could lift 500 pounds. You're talking to a guy who can't lift 100 pounds. You ask him, I'm only asking you to carry 100 pounds. He can't, just because you can, he can't. That's similar to what Moshe seems to be asking the Jewish people. That's the first question. Why would Moshe ask something and make it like it's nothing when for us it's obviously something? And we will stop here.